Be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. One of the 12, who was called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said, "What are you willing to give me if I hand him over to you?" They paid him 30 pieces of silver, and from that time on, he looked for an opportunity to hand him over. On the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples approached Jesus and said, "Where do you want us to prepare for you to eat the Passover?" He said, "Go into the city, in a certain man, and tell him, 'The teacher says, my appointed time draws near. In your house, I shall celebrate the Passover with my disciples.'" The disciples then did as Jesus had ordered and prepared the Passover. When it was evening, he reclined at table with the 12, and while they were eating, he said, "Amen, I say to you, one of you will betray me." Deeply distressed at this, they began to say to him one after another, "Surely it is not I, Lord." He said in reply, "He who has dipped his hand into the dish with me is the one who will betray me. The Son of Man indeed goes as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed." Then Judas, his betrayer, said in reply, "Surely it is not I, Rabbi." He answered, "You have said so." The Gospel of the Lord. We are now on the Wednesday of our Holy Week, the day before our celebration of the Triduum. This day is called Spy Wednesday, owing to the readings that we have today, the betrayal of Judas. Now, we're still in the upper room, just like what we have talked about yesterday. We're still in the upper room, and the disciples, Jesus' family, were gathered in the upper room to celebrate the Passover. Now, in the reading, you probably have heard of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Now, the Passover and unleavened bread are two feasts of the Jewish people. They coincide. The Passover, as you all very well know, is a commemoration of their flight from Egypt, that land of slavery, and into the promised land. And they were saved by the Lord with mighty signs and wonders. So that's the Passover. That's what they're commemorating in their dinner. The Feast of Unleavened Bread coincides with that celebration because starting on the night of that Passover and a few days afterwards, they will be eating unleavened bread, which if the Passover is a sign of their moving from slavery into freedom, well, the unleavened bread is also a reminder for the Jewish people of their flight, of the hurriedness that they had to do their flight from Egypt. So all of these things. Now, one of the main feature of the Passover is gathering the family. As a matter of fact, in ancient times, in the time of Jesus, like I mentioned to you, all Jewish people who are able and are of age, they must go to Jerusalem and to celebrate Passover there within the boundaries of the city. It signifies one thing. In Jerusalem is their home. And in Jerusalem, they come together in families. And that is saying a lot, that the Lord is with the family, that the Lord is with his chosen people, and there within the family, they are safe. You are not to go outside of Jerusalem, nor to go outside of your family gathering, because that is the place of light. That is where the Lord abides. And so to step out of the party, of the dinner on Passover was frowned upon. It's even in the law that you must not step out, because it's like leaving, turning your back to the Lord and going into the darkness. That's exactly what Judas had done. He chose not the home. He chose not salvation, but he chose the darkness of the world. He driven by greed. Now you there are many interpretations regarding the motivation of Judas. Why did he betray the Lord? Well, if we look at John, the Gospel of John, the motivation was really greed, because he was stealing. He was stealing from the purse of the group. So he chose, instead of family, he chose the world. Instead of light, he chose darkness. So he went to the officials and he said, "How much will you give me? How much for if I hand to you Jesus of Nazareth?" He said, 30 pieces of silver." Now it says that 30 pieces of silver is the going rate for a month's wage, you know. But consider that the worth of Jesus, the creator of all things, the master of the universe, for Judas, the Lord worth only, you know, just a few hundreds of dollars. Contrast that with the love of Mary, who poured out this cologne, this nard, which cost an annual salary. And so here, you know, the mind of Judas, who is shaped by the world and him embracing the Lord, had now ceased to appreciate who the Lord is. This friend, this family, whom he has lived with for 3 years and had known so intimately, he stepped away from that and then into the darkness. So that's the tragedy of Judas. But you know, the Lord would be able to save him just the same. You know, he says a drop of his blood would be able to save even the worst of sinners. But Judas continued to cling on the world. And so when he began to feel remorse, remember his clinging to the world, when he began to feel remorse, what happened? Well, he said, "Take back the money. I don't need it. I don't need that. I'm sorry what I had done." Maybe because he had seen the Lord suffering, he said, "I did not expect that to happen." And so he's giving back the money as he has remorse. And what did the world say? "Well, that's your problem." That's what happens when we leave behind the Lord. Now, in the first reading, we hear this mysterious figure of the servant, and this servant, this servant is going through horrible things, but then he turns to the Lord and said, "The Lord God is my help. Therefore, I am not disgraced." Contrast that to Judas, who turned to the world and said, "Well, that's your problem." Here, he says, "I turn to the Lord, and I am not disgraced." Peter did that. Because very much like Judas, Peter also betrayed the Lord three times. But Peter followed the Lord and sought to see him, and their eyes met. You know, their eyes met, and I would imagine Peter melted when he saw the loving eyes of the Lord. Judas did not. He despaired. He ran away. And so Peter, meeting just like the servant in the first reading, going to the Lord and looking at him, was moved to redemption. We have two characters here, and these two characters represent comedy and tragedy. Now I'm speaking in terms of literary sense. A comedy is a story, events that lead to salvation. St. Peter's life is comedy. Contrast that to tragedy. Tragedy is a series of events that lead to downfall and complete mess. That's Judas. Today, my friends, as we look forward to our celebration of the Triduum, certainly there are many times when we have betrayed the Lord, when we said we don't know him, or we exchange him for a few pieces of silver. Do not despair. Let us go to the Lord. Let us go to the Lord. And just like Peter, be contrite and be sorrowful of what we have done. Then and only then can we find our salvation and will be led to the glory of the resurrection.